quack, 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 quack,
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to D5, The Mighty Ducks, the show where we look back at the 1994 Disney hockey sequel, D2, The Mighty Ducks, 5 minutes at a time. I'm Blake, and on the line is returning from last season, unfortunately, by himself this time, Sean Gurman. John, how you doing?
Fantastic. Thanks a lot for having me back.
Oh, no problem. And you're one of the first people I'm like, I have to come back next season. I have to. Unfortunately, at the time of recording, Dave Ballas, who usually is with us for these episodes, he got sick and he is not here. So it'll be a long time where he will hear this, but so everybody knows what happened here. It's supposed to be me, Sean, and Dave, just like last season. And things happen, illnesses happen, so we're good. That being said, let's get into D2, The Mighty Ducks. But before we get into the film itself, I'll ask you the same question I've asked everybody else. What's your history with this movie in the franchise?
Very short history. So I had seen the first movie, the first Mighty Ducks, when it came out. I don't think I saw this until recently, until the podcast.
Wow.
Yeah, I liked the Ducks, but I didn't follow up with any of the sequels. So this is all relatively new to me.
Nice. Okay. So what'd you think watching it for the first time?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I like it. I think it holds up. Yeah, it holds up really well. Yeah, really exciting. And I thought, you know, I just sequels, particularly to sports movies, don't always go so well. They get kind of bogged down in cliche, but I really like this, and it pulls and particularly we'll get into some of the details, but this final game and this final final period of the final game, and then into I don't want to get ahead of us, but there's some really nice callbacks. It like builds up, you know, there's things early on that pay off here in the end. Really well constructed, just a really good film. I enjoyed it very much.
Oh, awesome. Well, as from the last episode where we left off, the new Mighty Ducks are coming out onto the ice in their brand new jerseys. It's hysterical. These are the exact same jerseys that the Anaheim Mighty Ducks will be wearing soon. It's pretty funny how that works out.
Yeah, how convenient.
So
merchandising.
Disney at its best right here. Mm-hmm. You couldn't ask for better. I personally love on the call that they're looking up in the rule books if they're allowed to change jerseys, which cracks me up that this is a conversation that's happening. But you know what? This is something that like Doc Emmerich would do in a situation. Like, I can totally see this happening. Like, are you sure? Are you positive? Somebody back, tell me. Is this a real thing?
So, yeah, well, and you know, for the benefit of the fan in the stands or listening in at home, they'll be like, wait a second, is that legal? Because it's never happened before. We don't know.
Exactly.
And they look it up and they say, no, you can do this.
Have you seen Cars 3, by any chance?
I have not seen Cars 3.
In Cars 3, there is a similar thing in here where I'm just going to spoil the end of Cars 3. Are you listening? The end of Cars 3. Where Lightning McQueen, if he can't finish the race, he has to be forced to retire, not on his own terms. So he has a substitute car. They paint up and put his number on it. And then they have to go through the rule book to see if he's allowed to do this. It's exactly what I thought of. Like, I watched it. Oh, by the way, Cars 3, if you haven't seen it, it's so much better than Cars 2. Oh, my God. Love that movie. So there you go.
Okay, yeah, because Cars was really good, and
Cars
then
Cars 2 is terrible. Cars 3,
yeah, as a sequel, great. Not great, but okay, they do bounce back. So
well,
I'll
Cars 3 is
Cars
more
3.
The sequel to Cars than Cars 2 mm-hmm. was. So okay. That's how I always explain it. So,
though I wonder, talking about the rule book and these jerseys, so they can change colors, they can change, you know, kind of the logo in the front from USA to the duck, but the names and numbers on the back. They have to match, right? You have exactly. to have all the players' numbers and the names, and I guess if they got that right, then it's okay.
Exactly. There's nothing. The names are perfect. Like everything else is exactly the way you want it. And I do love how the actual people behind the boards with all the sounds and the scoreboard here, they're right on top of it. They're right on top of things.
Well, yeah. So I guess the legend of the Mighty Ducks has spread such that. The crowd knows the appropriate chant. Whoever's running the telestrators or the boards in the arena know the quack. We will quack you. They just jump right on it. Yeah.
Oh, it's so funny when you watch it. Like, okay, sure. This is so not how this would work at all.
I don't know. I kind of believe it because I mean you're a hockey fan and you know. I think in terms of not necessarily that hockey fans in general are the most educated about their sport, although they're certainly up there.
Oh yeah.
But in terms of fans that know their traditions of other teams.
Oh true.
I think hockey fans are up there. Hockey fans know what not just the team that they root for, but what all the other teams do. What are their superstitions? What are their traditions? So I believe like you know, the hockey fan who's enough of a fan that they'd be attending this event, the Goodwill Game Finals, that they would know, you know, some of these players, they would know this coach, they would know he came from the Ducks, they would, you know, I believe this. This is
it
believable.
All ties together. It all ties together.
Yeah, it all ties together.
Fair enough. Yeah. I do love the fact that this almost ties back to the finals in the last movie. Where it's like the chanting and the ducks and the quacks and the place is going crazy. And I still have no idea what the Iceland coach is yelling. I still have no clue what he's saying.
Yeah, it does mirror in a lot of ways. That final of the first movie. And there's some echoes back to some of the previous flashbacks as well.
True. Very true.
But yeah, it's nice. And this is, you know, at this point, after two periods of hockey, you know, the legs are getting a little bit tired, even after the second break. But, you know, the adrenaline that this could push a team kind of over, you know, give them the momentum, give them the adrenaline, give them, you know, that kind of that it factor that's hard to quantify to come out and just this change to shock, you know, feel you kind of surprise the other team. You get the crowd behind you. Yeah. I mean, I like this would probably be really good to see in a theater to have a crowd. I just watched it. I was home alone, you know, on my couch watching this, but you know, in a theater or surrounded by people when they come out and the crowd's cheering, I can just, you know, imagine the emotion in the room.
Yeah, I saw this in theaters with my dad, and it was fun. It was definitely fun to be in a theater for this moment.
Yeah.
It was crazy. It was you kind of saw what was happening, but then when you get into it, you all get into it. You know what's going to happen next. Mm-hmm. I just skimmed ahead because we were talking about the We Will Quack You singing, but I love watching Goldberg dancing. Goldberg just starts dancing. He's finally in the groove. Like, this is the Goldberg we know, you know?
Yeah.
Buddy, you're a boy, make a big noise, playing in the street, gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place, singing, we will rock you.
So we finally after all the craziness, finally get into the game. And mm-hmm. the fierceness on the Ducks side. They changed their jerseys and suddenly they could actually be fierce, more fierce, which is crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the skating's a lot sharper. They're a little more physical. I mean, they're still obviously outsized by the Iceland players, but they're taking them to it a little bit, you know, because they've got a little bit more confidence, a little bit more of a chip on the shoulder than they had the first two periods.
Very true.
And sometimes you need a reset. Like there is, I'm sure that first game that was it like 11-1 or 12-1, like that was in their mind.
12-3.
Yeah, the last time they played Iceland, like you just kind of, you got to have a reset where you're like, forget the past. We're just going to go out there, pretend it's 0-0, and just, you know, one goal at a time.
Exactly. You know what's funny? For this whole season, we've been comparing this to like the real Miracle on Ice. The real Miracle mm-hmm. on Ice. They were just, we decided to redo it a bit and make Iceland the team instead of Russia. And we've been comparing it. And I recently rewatched Miracle. Rewatched it because, well, I can. I love that movie. So then you watch Miracle.
Oh, great movie. Yeah.
And I'm like, wow. The it's exactly the same thing. The Soviet game at the Garden, they get USA gets killed, and then they use that to their advantage to beat the Soviets in the Miracle game. It's the same thing here. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah. So, oh, wow. I hadn't put that together, that parallel. And it's, you know, 40 years ago.
Exactly. Yep. Crazy, right?
The anniversary of that.
Yeah.
Now, was that on purpose on behalf? Do you think they did that intentionally?
I've been convinced, rewatching this movie, that they wanted to do the Miracle on Ice story, but they didn't have mm-hmm. the rights yet to the Miracle story. So they did their own movie, just changed it from Russia to Iceland, because there's no history of Iceland hockey anywhere ever, except for this movie. There's none. So I have a feeling that that's what this has been the entire time. That's been my theory, this entire show.
Well, because I wondered, I thought Iceland's kind of an odd choice.
Yes,
like
it is.
If they don't want to go, if they felt USA Russia was too
obvious,
you know, yeah, just too obvious and too cliche. There's, you know, there's Norway, there's Sweden, there's Germany.
Even Canada has some fun with that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, well, I figure maybe it. Well, that's the obvious choice. If you think, you know, world power in hockey, my first thought was Canada. And then I'm like, yeah, but how do you make Canada the bad guys?
Well, you know what? The U.S. women do a great job of that. If you ever watch a USA-Canada women's game, holy crap, did the Team USA women make Canada the bad guys. So true.
That's true, yeah. All right, good point.
So we continue on with play. We get our first goal as Ducks. As Connie mm-hmm. scores a goal, I do this. I love the fact that a female scored the first goal to get him back in this game.
Yeah.
It's now 4-2.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, let me make a note. I've been joking about this. In my script, I have a script on my phone. I follow along the entire movie. But anytime a song plays, whoever made this script, put the lyrics to the song in the script. It's so distracting when I'm looking through the script. Because the lyrics to We Will Rock You are in the script in the reading. it's so like, wow. I don't understand why who did that, but it's there. It's been bothering me this entire movie.
That's odd. Yeah.
So, by the way, I never did mention that we're playing in the background Queen Will Rock You, for those who don't know. There you go. Perfect. I said it. Now I can play the song and we can move on. Perfect.
Yeah.
Anyway. We celebrate. The Go Ducks Go is going. I love the fact that they put that on the screen. You know this game is at the Arrowhead Pond, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Because that's the important part.
I know that's where it's supposed to be. That's where it is in the movie. Is it on location?
Yes.
Okay.
This is the first thing to ever happen in Arrowhead Pond was this movie. Before the Ducks even moved in, this movie happened. So, and that's important. It's actually in like all the things I've read about this movie. It's just the very first thing to ever happen here. And it's so funny. I noticed this a couple episodes ago. When you look at the scoreboard, like now, if you look at the scoreboard, obviously now it's the Honda Center. But like if you watch the first Mighty Ducks game, which I did for an episode of All About the Mount City podcast, you look at the scoreboard, it says Arrowhead Pond on the scoreboard. Well, they haven't gotten the naming rights yet in the arena for this movie. So this is Anaheim Arena on the scoreboard. But they call it the Arrowhead Pond. So little things like that I've noticed going through this.
So is that... Because it's been 2 years. I don't remember the exact timing. It's been years since the first movie, Mighty Ducks, in 92. Mm-hmm. The NHL Ducks still haven't played a game.
The NHL Ducks, they filmed this movie in 93. The Anaheim Mighty Ducks started October 93.
Okay.
It came out in 94. So they filmed it in 93. Okay. And then 90, yeah. So that makes sense. The timing works. But it's hysterical because I did this for a different podcast. I was on All About the Mouse. I did full research on the Mighty Ducks in Disney. And the hystericalness of Michael Eisner, after the first movie made money, making a hockey franchise is one of the funniest stories ever. Like, it's so ridiculous, Michael Eisner at the time. People give Bob Iger shit for half the stuff he's done. Michael Eisner had the nerve to make a hockey team of a movie. Like, come on. It's so ridiculous.
Hey, sometimes it just takes, you know, one person with a vision and just crazy enough to actually carry it out.
So we move on, and Iceland suddenly makes it 5-2 because, you know, that's how it works. And then we cut to one of the funniest aerial scenes is Charlie coaching and showing a play on a basketball board. What are we doing? What is this?
Like, seriously, no one can...
Where did this come from? Like, what is he doing? I'm looking at it here.
It's one of those things they probably figure, like, no one's going to be watching this film 5 minutes at a time. Like, no one's going to notice that.
No. Trust me, there's many a moment in this movie I've questioned that part. I've questioned that. Yeah. If we had Kyle Crane on and he paused it on one of the newspaper articles, and that might be one of my funniest moments of the whole season, was Kyle reading the newspaper and had nothing to do with what was going on in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, nothing to do with anything. So he does say, is this perfect for the team we're playing? Which, you know, as a kid, that makes sense. Sure, let's go with that. Mm-hmm. I don't understand what's going on. Well, let's go with it.
Yeah.
So...
Well, there's going to be a couple of these callbacks because one of the complaints that the players had about that first game with Iceland is that they weren't prepared. They, you know, he didn't scout. Like, those guys knew us. We didn't know them. Mm-hmm. So there's these little things that they drop in where, like, to show it's not just the player stepping up that, what's his name? Gordon. You know, Gordon's kind of stepped up his coaching game. He scouted them a little bit. You know, he's saying, like, okay, we know this.
And this one, I know, this one's actually, this is actually Charlie's play, which I like the fact that Charlie has stepped up as assistant coach, like, in the middle of this game. Still, to this day, okay, I'm going to say this now, because this happens. In D3, I'm going to reference it, I've said this one time, but I'll say it again. In D3, they say very clearly, in the beginning of that movie, that Charlie has always been their captain. Not once in these two movies has he ever worn the Captain C. I don't understand this. Logic.
The magic of cinema.
It's been bothering me this entire movie. Like, he doesn't wear the Captain C at all. Not even when we put these. I figure, okay, fine. When they get to these jerseys, he'll have the C on it because it was stitched on. No! Not even here! Like, don't get it. So, anyway.
Anyway,
back to this. I've been ranting. Now,
I have a I have a complaint. Now, So the people working the boards in the arena.
Right.
They're homers. I mean, it's...
pretty obvious.
The Ducks are kind of the home team. The USA team. The game's in.
Yeah.
So we get the quack quack on the boards. Who's working the horn, though? And are they from Iceland? Because every Iceland goal, we get a horn. The Ducks goal, they never get the horn.
That's weird. I have to pay attention to that more closely. That's pretty crazy. I know Like, if you watch the World Juniors, and they have the way they do the World Juniors, I don't know if you ever watched it. They, when they, like, say they're, this past World Juniors, I think it was in Russia, I think. I don't remember. There's, I watch it every year. I forgot. I think it was Germany. But anyway, wherever you are, it doesn't matter if you're, like, the team, home team or away team, you get the horn, you get music, you get all the kind of stuff because they want to make it neutral for everybody on the ice. So you're right. I didn't even catch the fact that there's no goal horn after goals for the Ducks.
I'm pretty sure it's the whole game, but it's definitely this third period. There's no horn for any of the Duck goals.
That's hysterical. That's funny.
Like, that's just, that's not fair.
No, no, that's pretty damn funny. I'm not going to lie. I never thought about that. But so we have... This is a classic Ducks play that only works in this movie, where we have the alley-oop over the scoreboard, which, by the way, if you put the scoreboard, you can see it's in Anaheim Arena, there on the board, past the scoreboard. But I personally love everybody on the bench looking up like, oh, it's working.
Yeah, that everyone else is going to stop and look, except for the one player who's racing down the ice. It's like it never...
Well, to their credit, in this play, let's watch the playback. To their credit, the Iceland players that are around Banks don't stop playing. Like, they don't stop playing. Mm-hmm. So to their credit, if the rule they were told was follow Banks and don't leave Banks' side, technically Banks was tripped up on the play and still scored the goal. So...
Yeah.
To the credit, they didn't stop playing.
Right, right.
Unlike any other team in a situation like that.
Yeah. But I do, and the skating is much better.
Yes.
Which would make sense. There's the kids are 2 years older. They'd be better skaters than they were in the last film. I assume this is all happening in real time.
Yes.
It's been two years since the last film.
The timing has been weird. I'm not gonna lie. There was some weird like timing things at the beginning of this movie that make no sense. But we'll go with it. I'll go with it because everyone looks older. So I'll go with it.
Yeah, we'll just go with it.
Yeah, because Mr. Charlie looks more like Pacey Witter more every movie continues. So that's my barometer as everyone gets older in this movie is watching Josh Jackson turn into Pacey.
Yeah.
So I paused it after that goal, and it's hysterical. Charlie's mouth is wide open, like, holy shit, I can't believe that actually worked.
Yeah. We all feel the same way.
I know. So you were saying, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, so it's 5-3.
Yes.
And, like, that two-goal lead, like, that's the most dangerous lead. Like, you can't, for Iceland, for the team that's ahead, you want a cushion. Like, two goals is never enough because, you know, they just need one more, and then it's one goal, and, you know, that's, yeah. So a two-goal lead is not a comfortable margin at all, you know, for hockey.
So
you definitely don't want, yeah.
So I'm looking at the scoreboard. It says 8:18 left on the board. I'm looking at the script at the same time, so I'm like, okay, something's wrong with the time. So we're gonna keep going, and then I'm gonna read what the script is saying. The time is so it says 8:18 after Banks' goal. It's two goal deficit, and the hitting continues, and we're going crazy. What they'd like us to believe is that during all this, before Mendoza's goal that was about to happen, 6 minutes goes by. Because it says there's 2 minutes left after the goal by Mendoza. So, time is weird in this movie.
Yeah, I guess... I guess this is like one of those replays, like if you ever watch, you know, hockey on TV, like they'll show it live, and then at 1 a.m. there'll be like a one-hour replay.
Oh, yes.
Where they kind of edit it, and they jump ahead in the action, so...
This game has been edited from the original broadcast. The NHL Network does it all the time. And it's all the time. Oh, okay. I got a funny story for you based on that. That's a very funny story. I used to watch a lot of... Obviously, during the playoffs, you watch as much hockey as you can. Well, back in the late 90s, I remember the Philadelphia-Pittsburgh game that went to 5 overtimes?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm watching this game live. I fell asleep sometime during the second overtime. Had the game on TV. Fell asleep. Yeah. I'm watching ESPN2. It's on the deuce. I fall asleep. I wake back up. I thought I blinked. I look at the screen, and at the exact same point, I fell asleep. So I'm like, okay, fine. And then I looked at my clock. It's 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
How is the second overtime? It's 3:30 in the morning. It was that kind of a thing. What is going on here? It was a weird mind fuck. What is happening?
Like in the time, like the Twilight Zone. Like what's going on here?
I had to jump up, run to the computer, and check the score because I had no idea what was going on. It was so weird. Ay, ay, ay. But that's exactly what I just thought of when you said that.
Yeah.
So,
though, speaking of, so you mentioned the scoreboard.
Yes.
I don't know if I like this or not, but so they've got the score, the time, the period, and like that's it. They don't have like they don't have like the shots. They don't
they
penalties.
The shots earlier.
They don't have timeouts.
They showed the shots earlier during the alley-oop goal. I saw it actually earlier.
Oh yeah, yeah. But after this one. And I have a pause. Yeah, like you know, it's 8:18 on the clock after the and like none of that other stuff is filled in, which I figure that way we don't have to keep track of it. We don't have to worry about continuity or anything.
That's a good point because earlier, if you go back to the alley-oop goal, a minute ago, they had the shots up and it was like 38-24 or something like that for Iceland. Like it was a ridiculous number. And then they got rid of it. I think they realized the continuity, that's stupid to have up there.
Right.
Like why are we keeping this up here? Because some hockey may pay attention to that and realize how dumb that is.
Well, also that's a lot of shots. I'm impressed. Like I could see Iceland having 30 something shots on goal, but that the US got 24 shots off.
That's impressive. Especially with all the hitting that's going on here. That's really impressive.
Yeah.
So let's get to Mendoza's goal. And this is a payoff from the entire movie. Is Mendoza finally stopping. Like, would you believe that Mendoza stopping would be such a big deal? You know? Mm-hmm. So, finally, it happens. I find the fact that he forgot to put it in, though, is hysterical to me, though. He finally stops, he covers the goaltender in ice, and then forgets to shoot the puck in. Like, wait! So, there you go.
So, this is another one of those great payoffs. And I think it's funny, like, I've never... It kind of makes sense, because when you see them play hockey and they do these stops, and you can see the ice, you know, the kind of the shavings from the blades go flying... I don't know if it's realistic that it's kind of you can blind a goalie that way.
I don't know, but it works. It works for this movie.
Yeah, but it totally works, and it totally, you know, it's that the you know, the lesson, the moral is, you know, one is just, you know, believe in yourself and you can do it, but also the importance of it's not just about the game, it's the importance of preparation and practice and everything and the work and showing drawing that line to say, see, all that, you know, all the work they put in, all the practice paid off.
All that stuff we started in the montage a little while ago finally paid off. So we jump to Goldberg, who does make it very clear, we're still in this. We can do it. Very nice. They tend to have a goaltender, really encouraging. So all right, so we want to believe it now. There's 2 minutes left on the clock, and it's time for one of the most bullshit plays in the history of like sports movies. And I love this movie to no end, but this might be one of the most bullshit things I've ever seen. So, first of all, we send Tyler out, and it's fine, whatever. We gotta send Tyler out, and he's being triple teamed because the coaches know from the last game he's gonna take a shot. Fine. But... How in the world? How long was this timeout that Gordon took? And they had the time to change jerseys and change pads and everything else between Goldberg and Tyler. I have no idea how this makes any sense at all.
This and I wanted to talk about this because actually this not this situation. No, this did not happen in an NHL game, but a situation came up where were a team where the Carolina Hurricanes had to call in the emergency backup goalie.
Yes, of course. This is a famous story. And I know we're dating ourselves, but this is a fantastic story from this season. So go right ahead.
Yeah, for folks that don't know, NHL teams carry two goalies on the roster. And at every game, there's what they call an emergency backup goalie. And if both goalies for a team are injured or can't play, they send in the backup goalie. The thing is, usually there's one goalie. So whichever team needs somebody, this guy goes in. They sign him to – usually they can either do like a contract, like a one-game contract. Usually they call it a tryout. And so they don't pay the guy. The guy doesn't even get paid. But in this case, there was a game in Toronto, and the Zamboni driver, this 42-year-old Zamboni driver for the Toronto Maple Leafs, gets called in, suits up, signs a quickie tryout contract, goes in for the Hurricanes, and wins. And it was like 27 minutes. He played the whole third period, gets what, 7 stops, and wins the game.
So the funny part is, I forgot what night it was. I was there. Was a Saturday night. So I'm at an Admirals game, hockey game, and my phone's going off for normal updates, like normal stuff, and there for an Admirals game, and my phone goes off, and I'm like, does that say emergency backup goaltender? Like, I had to read it twice. I'm like, what am I reading? And I show it to my wife, and she looks at it, and she's like, huh? Like, we both kind of sat there confused for a minute. So then Sal,
it's like, is this The Onion? Is this a parody site? What are you showing?
And it's from ESPN. So I'm just like, what is going on? And then Sal's texting me like, you know what's going on? I'm like, no, I don't. I'm at another game. How would I know what's going on? Like, I'm at a hockey game myself tonight. So I totally missed all this happening in live play. I totally missed all of
it. It was crazy. So some of the arguments for this arrangement is, well, one, another player wouldn't necessarily have the skills to play goal just because you're a you're a defenseman. Just because you play hockey doesn't mean you can play goal. And also there's a concern of injury. If you're not used to that position, you're not used to the movement, you're not used to this – the equipment,
it's pads, much different. Much, you know,
you're not used to that pad. You don't want a one of your regular players getting hurt. And then another consideration is the time. Like, so, you know, why don't they just take one of their other players and throw him in goalie pads and send him out as the third goalie? And it's, the time to change all your equipment, the pads, the gloves, it's, you know, so much is different from a skater on ice.
Yeah,
what
is it, a 60-second timeout? Like, all they get in an NHL game? Like, how does this make any sense? It makes zero sense.
So, yeah, for this to happen, and it's a standard play. It happens often where teams will pull the goalie. If you're down by a goal or two at the end, and you're looking at losing, you're like, well, if we give up a goal, it doesn't matter. We'll pull the goalie. We'll put an extra skater.
Of course.
Which is essentially what they do here.
Which, by the way, that confuses so many people at hockey games at times. I might only hockey games. There are kids that get so confused by the pulling of the goaltender thing at every single game I go to. Every game. They get so confused by that. Like, why is the goalie leaving the ice? I hear it every time.
I mean, that's essentially what they're doing here. They're playing a goalie, you know, pulling the goalie for a skater, only they put the skater in goalie equipment. But it's, I mean, at the very least, like, you got to get them out there. Like, they'd notice, wait, one goalie's leaving and another goalie's going on. Like,
yeah, but well, I guess the whole thing is secret. And my favorite part is when he takes off the helmet, takes off the pad, and his buddy's like, it's Russ! Oh my God, it's Russ! Like, I didn't notice that the white goaltender suddenly turned black. I didn't notice that at all. Jeez. But I do appreciate the detail of changing sticks, by the way. I do appreciate that detail.
Right. Like, they do cover that. Which you know what? And that's another thing that's perfectly legal. It happens. I mean, I don't know. I've never seen a skater hand their stick to a goalie like that.
But you can't hand your stick off like that. You can't do that. But
I take that back. I have seen it.
Really? You have?
Well, because I was going to say, I've seen it where someone breaks a stick and like another player will hand the guy with the broken stick will hand him his stick. And usually the player that handed off the stick then goes off the ice for a change.
Right.
But I don't remember the circumstances, but I think there was a, I'll double check and we can post it in, you know, on the website or the group or whatever later. I'm pretty sure there were situations where the goalie stick got broken and one of the skaters handed their stick to a goalie.
That wouldn't be That would not be shocking whatsoever. I think I remember like Marty Brodeur having a regular stick at one point for no reason whatsoever, and that does make sense. You know,
I'm pretty sure this. So I think that this is other than now going back to when we talked about when they skate out for the third period in the Ducks jerseys and the numbers and the names everything match up. Russ is wearing a Goldberg jersey. Right. So other than that, like the rest of this play is legal.
As weird as that sounds. And then we have the knuckle puck, which I love this camera angle. The camera angle of the knuckle puck is one of my favorite things. Like, I love watching it. it never gets
I old. Love this because this is, well, I see this and I think, well, this is the Sam Raimi camera move that he does it in Evil Dead and Army of Darkness, and like that's kind of like one of the things in my mind. It's like a Sam Raimi move, but yeah, I love the perspective of the puck flying in.
Yeah, it's such a great. They only do this for him and for Fulton. It's the only time we ever see it, so it's really really cool, and it beats the goaltender by a lot. Like, wow, yeah. the fact that he did that from end to end is pretty damn impressive.
Yeah. So, well, because he can't skate very far. He's not going to be very nimble with the goalie gear on. So he goes out, I don't know, maybe to the blue line.
Right.
And, you know, it's not the length of the ice, but it's maybe 3/4 or 2/3 of the ice.
It's still impressive.
But it's still, you know, it's still impressive.
So let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in the building for a goaltender scoring a goal?
No. Oh, I would have loved that. No.
You know what?
I mean, you mentioned Brodeur. He's got a couple, but have you ever witnessed?
I've seen it twice.
Twice?
I saw Marty's goal in the 97 playoffs. I was there for that. I saw Marty score his goal in the 97 playoffs. And then, most recently, I was in Chicago for a Blackhawks-Predators game. And Pecorine scored a goal.
Yeah.
I was in the building for that, too. So I got to see it twice.
Wow.
Yes. But the first time, I always joke. There's certain times in sports, I always joke it's called the hug a stranger moment, where something happens.
Yeah.
You end up hugging a stranger for no reason whatsoever. That was the 1997 playoff for Marty to score that goal. That was my first ever hug a stranger moment at a game. Like, all of us were, like, jumping up and down. We're hugging each other. We literally met each other for the first time 2.5 hours ago. And we're all hugging each other like crazy. Oh, man.
Wow.
That was an amazing experience.
Yeah, I've never heard it put that way, but yeah, a hug a stranger moment, absolutely.
Well, I've experienced that before. I used to work at the Meadowlands, and I was at the Jets-Dolphins game, which is now known as the Monday Night Miracle at the Meadowlands, when the Jets were down 28-0 going into the fourth and won in overtime. I was there for that game on Monday Night Football. The game ended at like 1 in the morning. But I remember working at the game and random people are hugging me when this game's over. Those random people.
Wow. You've been witness to history.
I've seen some crazy games in my – actually, do you remember – you know in the 2000 Stanley Cup Finals, DHS, where they show the goal with Sikora – And Eliash kind of crossing and then shooting a puck against Boston randomly on that team. I was at that game. I remember it because that was the last game of the millennium. And I was at that game. So I've seen a lot of crazy stuff like that. So
I'll have to pull that. Well, I was going to say I'll have to pull out that tape. I'll have to pull out the VCR and hook it up so I can watch that tape.
Have that on my shelf over here. I do have that on my shelf. So, well, we end our 5 minutes with them celebrating this ridiculous goal.
Yeah.
I cannot believe it. Goal celebration. So there you go. That's where we end these 5 minutes. So I guess I should tell everybody that, Sean, you're going to be sticking around for the next episode. So instead of giving your, why don't you give your plugs and do half your plugs here. We'll do the other half later. Go for it.
All right. Well, I'll just say, well, if Dave was here, he would certainly remind you to check out 5 Minutes of Mystery, where he talks about the 99 Ben Stiller classic Mystery Men, 5 minutes at a time. And if you want to see what I'm up to, go to catandsean.org. It's C-A-T and Sean, S-E-A-N.org.
Perfect. And for those listening, if you haven't been following the show or jumping in for the first time because Sean sent the link up, go and find the show at D5 The Mighty Ducks on all platforms and on all podcasting platforms, D5 The Mighty Ducks. And if you're on iTunes or anywhere else, just kind of leave a rating review. I'd love to know what you think of the show. I know this is by far my most downloaded podcast that I do. So I want to hear from you people. Come on, tell me what you think. So, till next week when Sean will return to get into the shootout, we'll talk about that on next week's show. Thank you, Sean, for coming on.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
No problem. And for all you listening, I will see you all next week. Have a good day, everybody.
And when everyone says it can't be done, ducks fly together.